This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hey, Griffin here.
None of these scenarios are based on any real-life events. Everything is made up entirely on the spot.
Take it away, song! Hello!
Hi!
I'm Griffin.
Steve.
And or Bones.
And this is Killed to Death,
the improvised true crime podcast.
They can do Steve and Bones?
Yeah. Oh, I don't mind.
And Steve Bones. Up. Oh, okay. You can.
That has kind of a ring to it.
You don't find it jarring switching between personalities?
Well, no. And honestly, and I'm sorry to come for somebody so early in the show, but Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, grow up. It's easy to be two people at once. And you do not need to do this swip swap.
You don't need to drink a potion.
No, you think I'm using a potion? It's so easy. If someone says one of the names, I go, yeah. If someone says the other name, I go, yeah. Like, I'm just, I know they're talking to me.
Yeah.
And I'm there to respond. Like, it's not hard.
And you get all green easily.
Mm-hmm.
You get huge. You hunch over.
You're thinking of the Hulk.
Dr. Jekyll, yeah. He invented the gamma ray stuff.
Dr. Jekyll, the Avenger. Could you imagine that was one?
And he turns into Hyde. That's his whole thing. Who? Now, I don't know Jekyll and Hyde that well, but I think Hyde is just like a creepy guy who,
I think he's
in
just
some
a monster,
iterations,
right?
Is green.
You know what I'm thinking of? He's green in the Arthur iteration where it's Binky.
Library card, yeah.
No, it's not Binky. It's Brain.
Well, Binky and the Brain. Now, Steve, it is mid-April.
Oh, well, you're not going to top that. We should end the show.
Forever.
Yeah.
That
guy who doesn't want to host the show anymore, every joke you say, okay, we got to end this thing, man. We got to stop doing this. That was too good.
It is mid-April and it is barbecue season.
Oh, yeah. You're kind of wearing a barbecue shirt.
Yeah, for the listeners, you can tell it's a Hawaiian shirt. Mm. Steve, you're wearing one ready for, I guess, September, the beginning of the school year.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if you go back to the old Facebook photos, I wore this like when we started doing the show. It was an old t-shirt, and I'm not proud of it. I don't have many new clothes. I don't want any gripe.
And now, luckily, because we've already done what I would call banter, we only prepared one tip each for this barbecue.
That's for the best, maybe. That's for the best.
It's crazy we decided on that. Yeah, we only could come up with one tip each, and then we were like, we don't know how to pull off a successful barbecue. Steve, what was your one tip?
No, so is this for having people over, or is this barbecuing for yourself?
This is having a successful barbecue party.
Oh, okay, yeah, it's party season. Party season's coming up, and you know what? A lot of people like to get party hats, but not enough people talk about party shoes. And I think that's important to provide for anyone who comes over. Just, you know, those little slippers you get at the dentist?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Or the orthodontist, I guess, or some places, doctor's offices. Have those ready to go. People want to use
them.
Have
that like basket at the door.
That's right. That's right. And let people slip those on. And you should decorate them. You could kind of bedazzle them and make them look a little fun and friendly. And it's kind of got that party hat feel, but it's for your feet. And also, then they won't track their dusty, grimy, dirty shit all over your property.
Yeah, all your friends have shit on their feet.
Well, in my neighborhood, a lot of dogs and a lot of bad owners.
Oh, yeah, so the dog's pooing and the owner's pooing next to them. My tip, I would say have comfy seats. Much like you would have at a, say, a dentist or an orthodontist, have one chair that reclines with a big light over it. And everyone's already coming in sunglasses because it's a barbecue, so perfect.
And that reclining thing is great for eating, for sure. They actually say it's better for digestion if you're kind of leaned all the way back while you eat.
Yeah, and serve your hamburgers out of tubes.
Yeah, it should be liquid hamburgers that you suck on for an hour.
I'm getting deja vu. Have we talked about a dentist chair in another cold open in the past few episodes?
I remember we were talking about those like suctiony, like those. Yeah.
Okay, wait. Our email address is killtodeathpodcast@gmail.com. Me and Steve are each going to take a swing at doing that tube noise from the dentist. Please tell us who does it best. Okay. Steve, do you want to go first or second?
I think I'll go first.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. That was Steve Cook. That was Griffin Toplitzky. Doing podcast is making art.
Are you going to say who you're represented by?
I am with the Porter Group. I'm 5'11".
Okay, you're only 5'11"?
I'm only 5'11". I'm a wee lad.
Oh, I thought we were the same height. Okay, never mind.
Steve, of course, is 6'9" and stupid. Steve...
That's what my driver's license says.
6'9" and stupid. Oh, speaking of IQ.
Yes.
Would you like to get this episode started?
Yes.
The victim, Jim Fargo, found dead at an IQ testing facility. Today's guest, Sam McGillicuddy, who found the body. Sam, hello.
Hello, fellows. Thanks for having me on your podcast.
Hey, no problem at all.
No worries, yeah. Do you care to enter the contest of who can make the better dentist tube noise?
I'll give it the old college try here.
Oh, damn.
You're not bad, eh?
I've
never tried that before.
That was Sam McGillicuddy.
Yep. I am represented by United Artists. I'm no film buff. I don't think that's a talent agency. I think it's a studio. But
yeah, but that's still impressive to be represented
really
by a studio.
Impressive.
I'm sure you get a lot of roles that way.
If I was represented by the actual studio, I have to believe that they would want to put me in a lot of their movies. Otherwise, what's the point?
Yeah.
Or they want to keep you out of all their movies.
Oh, okay. I hadn't thought of that. Yeah.
That's
but,
possible.
You know, it's keep your friends close and your enemies closer. If
that's
I'm
right.
a bad actor
yeah.
and they don't want to hire me,
yeah.
what better way than to like have control over what roles I would go out for? That's a good
yeah,
idea.
And they try and get you booked at other studios to tank them.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it kind of, now that the more I think about it, the more I don't think this scenario really stands up to much scrutiny. I think if they didn't want me in their movies, they could just not hire me.
And are you
a lot
trying
of trouble
to, are you trying to be an actor? Is that something that you're aspiring for?
No, I was just kind of riffing. I like movies. Again, I don't know the ins and outs of the business. Although I did used to read Premiere magazine back in the day, so
Premiere. That's
I know about people
candidate.
Like Don Simpson and Jerry Bruckheimer. I know Mike Ovitz.
Wow.
Yeah, but I mean, over the last 15 years since that magazine ended, I haven't really kept up with the biz. So yeah, I mean, I like movies, I watch them, but I don't really know about the politics of Hollywood and what have you. And I don't really have any interest in being an actor. I did some like, I've done some like local theater, community theater, that kind of thing. I did some acting in college, but besides that, Yeah, I don't really, it's not a vocation for me.
But now your vocation is working at an IQ testing facility?
That's right, yeah. So I'm the guy who maintains the machines at the IQ center. So, you know,
oh,
the...
it's machines.
It's machines.
It's that old-fashioned to do the old paper test.
Well, yeah, I mean, they got to input that data into something, and that's where the machines come in. They have big card readers, and they're really like old-time computer aesthetics here. We're talking like 20 feet high.
Yeah.
And they can only take, yeah, there's tubes. You can only take 5 cards at a time. Anything beyond that really overheats it and it kind of explodes.
Is your job to clean up, it sounds like.
It would be, yeah. Yeah, if that ever happened. I'm the one who'd have to get in there and get my elbows dirty and the rest of me dirty. And I do go in elbows first. I mean, it does help.
Yeah,
my
crawl into the machines.
Yeah, and my elbows are sharper than most. I have been tested, and I do have unusually sharp elbows. So,
is that another test you do at the facility?
No, and this is just a test I did myself, just on my own time. There were a few mishaps I had in my life as a result of my sharp elbows. It's kept many a lover at bay, unfortunately, kind of driven them away. So I had it tested, and yeah, my elbows are...
You had it tested by yourself?
No, I went, you can go to a doctor and get it done. There are elbow specialists out there. I don't know the exact name. I think it's like elbiatrist or something. But my elbows are sharper, 50%, 58% sharper than the average elbow.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's, it's tough. So I got to tape them up a lot of the time, put padding on them. Hockey, you know, like elbow pads from like hockey usually do the trick.
Yeah, that's what you're wearing right now.
Yeah. I'm wearing those, and I'm also wearing shoulder pads. And if you'll notice, I'm actually wearing a helmet.
You just came from hockey?
Yeah, it looks like you're recording from goalie's net.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I play goalie. I've been vaccinated is the thing. And me and some other vaccinated friends, I'll get together and play some shinny, little vax shinny, as we call it. So it's safe because, you know, we're all vaccinated, and we wear like the mask underneath our helmets. So like we're kind of double masked. So it's pretty safe. And yeah, I'm a goalie. Yeah,
so you're
play goal.
Currently mid game right now, in case we hear any ambient sounds.
Oh yeah, I actually am. I could have rescheduled this, but I mean, you know, two birds, one stone. I figured, why the hell not? I mean, the team that we're playing is pretty bad. I mean, I shouldn't say that. They're my friends. I mean, I'm playing with all my friends, but I happen to be playing I'm on the same team with my friends who are good at it, who are like good hockey players, and all the friends I have who are bad hockey players and who have been vaccinated, they're on the other team. So I don't get many shots on goal, and the ones I get, they're pretty weak. I can usually just, you know, right into the pads, or, you know, they can't even really get it off the ice that much, quite frankly.
It doesn't make it to the net. It just stops. It's too slow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the ice, I mean, it's getting warmer, obviously, so that doesn't help matters at all.
Oh, you're outside.
Yeah. I mean, we do play, like, you know, stick hockey or, like, you know, ball hockey or whatever. It's still not terribly maintained, and we do it on an ice surface, and there's still, like, some, like, puddles and stuff, so a lot of the time the ball can't get through puddles, you know, so it's...
But there is still enough ice that people will occasionally still slip and fall.
Yeah, you get the odd bit of ice, you know, if it temp plunges below zero on a given day, you know, some ice might surface, and but, you know, we're all padded up, it's no big deal, but some kids have been hurt going on the ice, so gotta be careful about there, guys. Be careful out
there. Are those your friends who are bad at hockey?
Yeah, well, I mean, they're kids. I mean, the kids of those my friends who are bad at hockey. They tend to be bad. They are the kid, and they tend to be bad at hockey and be bad at being parents, honestly.
Yeah, it's bad
often
genes.
Those two things go hand in hand. So it's got to be careful out there, guys.
But you work maintaining the machines at the IQ testing facility.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I make a lot of money. I make $80,000 a year.
Okay, well,
I like to volunteer that information in case someone thinks I'm a loser. I like to dispel that notion. Not that people who don't make certain, you know, not that money is tied to being a loser. I get it, but you know, I just like to get that information out there in case people think I don't provide for my family, because I do. I really do.
Well, congratulations.
I mean, that's awesome. Yeah, congrats.
Well, thank
man.
You. Thank you. Hey, I wasn't fishing, but I like what I got. Although, let's face it,
you're one of the coolest guests we've ever had.
Thank you. Oh, let's face it, I was kind of fishing, and I don't think I would have said that if I wasn't fishing a bit. But I make $80,000 a year. I've said that twice.
Okay, yeah, we didn't. It wasn't asked again.
I don't know. I don't know why I keep saying it. Let's put that to bed now. It's been established. I work doing that. I play shinny, and I've got a lot of friends. I've got a wife, and I've got a son.
Your life is awesome, man.
It actually is pretty awesome. I mean, all things considered, I could have my life could have turned out a lot worse. I've got some friends whose lives are pretty bad. Not nearly as good as mine.
No, they're on the other team, though.
They're on the other team. They tend to make, not a lot less money. They don't have any family. A lot of them they're just kind of drifting through life, not really knowing what they're doing. And but they're friends of mine, and I love them.
So I'm so curious, what is an IQ test? What does it consist of?
Well, so an IQ test consists of a test. It's a multiple choice test, and it's meant to test basically how smart you are. Now, I don't administer the tests or anything. I'm no expert, but I've picked up a few things about it. So it's 20 questions, and each question has a certain kind of value attached to it. Some questions have a bit more points than others. So, like, obviously the question, like, what is your name? That's going to be pretty low value, right?
Wait, that's a multiple choice question.
That's a multiple choice. How many options are there?
Well, there's four.
What are the choices?
What are the four names you could pick?
So there's Tom. There's Jerry. Milo, and Otis.
And what's the right answer?
Well, it all depends. Like, so you have to kind of choose the name that is closest to what your name is.
Okay.
So if your name is Tom, then bingo. Like, you got the full points. If your name isn't any of those four, then you kind of have to, okay, so my name is, my name's Ellen. Okay, so maybe Otis. So it's you kind of have to choose the name that you think is closest to you. And
what name is closest to Sam?
Sam, I mean, I think it would be Otis, honestly.
Really? Tom has three letters as well.
Oh, and an M at the end.
Otis has more of a Sam vibe, in my opinion.
Oh, okay. It's about a vibe.
It's vibes, a vibe check. Yeah, a lot of the questions judge vibes. You'd be surprised how many. Yeah.
Have you taken one of these tests yourself?
I have, yeah. I got 184.
Oh, is that good? What's the grading system?
Well, I think I believe a genius IQ is like 120 or something. So I am well over.
These graded if there's only 20 questions?
It's so complex. Yeah,
they all
so
have
complex,
different values.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
They all have different values, and it changes depending on which question. Not only on which answer you give, but on like what your reality is. So like again, if your name is Ellen and you choose Otis, maybe that changes the number of points you get changes depending on like what your name actually is.
And what if the vibe fits?
Right. And if it's the right vibe, yeah. A lot of it is vibe. And the thing to realize is that a lot of the things in life that we think are scientific and rooted in, fact and like verifiable, fact and reality, or it's really just vibes. A lot of it's just very inexact, and it's vibes.
Like, what's another vibe based question?
Another vibe based question would be, what color is it today?
Okay,
you got four choices: blue, red, obviously, magenta, and green.
Okay,
and that okay. So the number of points there changes based on what the general vibe is the day you take the test.
Sure.
And it also changes depending on your name. Basically, every question is dependent, like the number of points you get depends on what your name is. So if your name is Greg, that depends.
That's very close to Griffin.
Well, there you go. So if your name is Greg and you choose orange on a given day,
well, that's not even one of the options.
Well, oh, okay. I forgot. You're right. I'm sorry. Red, for instance. So if your name is Greg and you choose red, the fact that your name is Greg is going to affect how many points you get. Like, that's a 4-pointer. If your name is Esmeralda, that's a 12-pointer.
4 is not very good. In the grand scale of, let's say, 1 to 184, 4 is not going to get you very much.
No, no, it's really not. You're basically, it is not unlike a video game where, like, there are certain objectives you want to hit. Like, if you can get a 100-point answer, then you're golden. Like, you're good to go.
Is there a 100-point answer?
Whoa.
Yeah, there is. Now, I don't know exactly what it is. And, I mean, there's not just one. There are a lot of different variations that can get you 100 points. But, yeah, it exists. There are a few of them exist. And, boy, if you can rack those up, then you could be looking at a 300 IQ score, which is...
Wow.
Yeah, that's like Stephen Hawking level or whatever, yeah.
Is that the
or
highest
Quentin
possible?
Tarantino.
Yeah.
That's like Tarantino level. Like, that's how smart our 300 level IQ is. Whereas opposed to Martin Scorsese, he's only 102.
Yeah, he's a dipshit.
That guy doesn't like Marvel.
Oh, there you go. I mean...
that's the question he flunked.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Well, yeah, that famously, Scorsese underwent an IQ test, and one of the questions is, and was on his test, do you like Marvel? And the four choices are yes, no, maybe, or I don't care. And he went with no, and that really plunged his score. Yeah,
did he try and write in their roller coaster rides or their amusement park rides?
Oh, yeah, that only
you can't write on
the
multiple choice cards.
Yeah, it's funny you said that. He actually did do that, and that really took his score down even more. You cannot write on the tests.
Martin.
Yeah. So he's dumb. He's dumb as shit, that guy.
You know Jim Fargo at all?
I only met him a couple times. He just from, and this is just in passing. The first time I was working on the machines, it kind of got jammed up. Someone put in a sixth card. And I'll name and shame. It was Greg Bartola, one of the dumbest guys who works there. He's a real dipshit. He's just an asshole.
What does he do?
He's one of the guys who feeds this data into the machine. And
how much does he make a year?
He makes $8 million a year. Which is absurd. I should have made that much.
He's not a loser?
Well, I mean, technically, no. He's a loser in spirit. Like, he's on paper, right. He's not a loser, but he's a loser in spirit, for sure.
Theoretically, not a loser. In practice, a loser.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. It's like you see a movie sometimes and it's like, you know, like everything on paper, like the actors are all really good and there's some great imagery, but somehow it just doesn't hit you, you know? That's the kind of guy he is. He's like the guy equivalent of that. He's the guy equivalent of, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a movie like that, The Sixth Sense.
Tenet.
There you go. He's the guy equivalent of Tenet. That's a better example. Where it's like, I like all these actors, and there's, you know, great sound, great imagery here, cinematography, but it just doesn't do it for me. Greg is Tenet if Tenet was a guy who was walking around feeding five cards into a fucking machine.
Six, sounds like.
Yeah.
So it was broken on one of the days you met Jim.
Yeah, he just kind of walked in. He goes in multiple times. Like he was a regular at the IQ center.
Regulars?
Yeah, well, he just kind of kept coming back, hoping to get a better result. Because his first result was notoriously low. He scored a 48. I think it was a pride thing for him. He kept wanting to come back. So I think the first time I met him was the second time he came in. Mm. And he was like, which way to the tests? And so I...
Oh, God, he is an idiot.
Yeah, well, I mean, that... And that's the thing. They count for that on the test.
Wow.
Yeah. One of the questions is, like, I think it's question 5. Did you know where the testing site was when you walked in? The choices are yes, no, I think I did. And then the last one is just...
Otis.
You know, Otis, yeah. That is actually it. That's a good guess. Yeah. So he really fucked it up, I guess, the first time. And yeah, he didn't... He got slightly better... that time, but he only is 78, so that's still below average. Yeah, and then so, and the second time again, he walks in, the machine's broken, I'm working on it. And he's like, where is the testing? And I was like, you asked me that the last time you were in. And he was like, well, you know, what can I say? I'm bad with directions. And I laid into him, I'm not going to lie. I don't suffer fools. You know, if you are not smart, I want to ruin you.
What did you say to him?
I just called him a jackanape, fucking Nimrod. Read him the riot act, screamed till it was purple in the face. And he started crying and he ran off. But apparently he got a much better result on that test. He got,
so he ran him. Off. He ran off to go take the test.
No, well, my theory is he ran off trying to leave the building but doesn't know directions. So accidentally
ran right into the test.
That could be it. That could be it. I don't know for sure, but that theory, that may be true. It could be that he was trying to leave the building. He ran into the testing area and thought, well, as he's crying, he's like, well, since I'm here, I came all this way. And so he tearfully took the test and got a better score. So,
wow.
I like to think of myself as like the J.K. Simmons and Whiplash of that scenario. Like, sure, I was harsh. But I think I got results.
Yeah, you got some kid in a car accident.
Is that happens in that movie. Well, I don't think he got in a car accident, but...
Well, let's talk about when you did find him.
Oh, true.
Sure.
What was the scene?
Well, I came in. I started it to 8 a.m. And I had my Tim's and my coffee and my Timbits, way I like to start the day. And I always come in a bit early just to read. I like to read books, I find it easier to read before my shift at work. I don't know why. I cannot read at home at any part of the day, frankly. I can't read at work, like on my lunch break or whatever. I can only read at work before my shift starts. So I'm reading this book. It was a pretty good book. It was Kafka. It was Kafka's short stories.
Oh, those very Kafka-esque, yeah.
Yeah, I kept thinking to myself as I'm reading, like, man, whoever this guy is, because I forgot what I was reading. I was like, whoever this guy is, clearly influenced by Kafka. This is very, I mean, I'm reading a story about a guy who turns into a bug. And I'm like, this could be lifted straight out of the pages of one Franz Kafka. And then I look back at the front, I was like, who is this again? Ooh, yeah. So I felt like, I tell you, I did not live up to my 184 IQ score on that particular moment. I guess even the best of us have brain farts every now and then, you know? So anyway, I'm reading away, and I hear this noise. It's a banging noise, kind of like this. I don't know if you heard that, but it was a banging noise.
That's awesome.
You guys know what a banging noise is. You know.
Wait, everyone should go around and do their best impression of a banging noise.
Oh, yeah, can you tail slate that?
Yeah.
Sure, yeah. So anyway, yeah, I hear a banging noise, so I go out to investigate. Did you want me to do it again? I'll try it again. Something like that.
All right, that was Sam McGillicuddy.
Yeah. And I go out to investigate, and out in the lobby, there's a guy just lying there on the floor, face down. And
ass?
I'm sorry?
His ass? Was it up or down?
It was up. Yeah, his ass was up.
Okay.
It would have been pretty impressive if he was face down and his ass was also down.
Implies a cause of death, I guess, if he was twisted.
Yeah, got twisted.
Sure. Yeah, that would have been a dead giveaway as to the cause of death if his torso was facing up. Like if the bottom of him was facing up and the torso was down. Anyway, so I turn him over. I don't know why I did. But I guess I want to make sure he was okay. And he was dead. He was pale as a ghost. And I kind of shouted at him, like, buddy, wake up. And he didn't say anything, so I slapped his face a bit. Buddy, wake up. That didn't do anything, so I slapped him on the ass a bit. Like, buddy, wake up. Still didn't move, so I kind of throttled him, like, buddy, wake up. And still didn't move. So,
yeah,
at that point, I kicked him a couple times, like, buddy, wake up. And still didn't move. So after that point, I decided this guy, something's wrong.
Did you have a heavy object you could kind of pull down on top of him a few times?
Unfortunately, no. If I had, I think I would have just brought like some kind of large metal rod down on top of his body, because that would wake me up if I were sleeping.
For sure.
Yeah. So in any case, he didn't move, so I just called 911, and turned out he was dead.
What we're going to do is take a quick break. When we come back, hopefully we can figure out what ended his life.
Here's hoping.
And we are back on Kill to Death. Steve, did I cut you off mid-grunt?
Yes.
Apologies. We are still here with Steve and or Bones.
Yeah, either's fine. Keep them coming. And
don't need a potion?
Well, what was your nickname from last ep? Mr. Griff? The Griff.
The Griff.
The Griff. So we immediately abandoned that. But of course, listeners, feel free to send in new nicknames. Maybe we've gotten ones at that time, and we'll use them.
And following up on last episode, it turns out his name is the Highliner Fish Stick Guy, and he is hotter than you remember.
He got a rebrand, and he's actually really sexy now. So,
and the rebrand is just taking off his hat.
Yeah, and he's got that kind of slick back gray hair. It's really nice. And he got rid of the turtleneck, actually, so, you know, showing a little more skin.
He's so fucking hot.
He is now. So if you guys are horny and hungry, get some fish sticks.
We are still here with Sam McGillicuddy. Sam, you are currently playing goalie in a game of shinny.
I am currently. I will say I managed to stop some shots while I was over on break there, and they weren't very good. As I said, the shots tend to be just not great. The shooters on the other team. One of them got the ice a little bit, and I shouldn't say ice; it's mainly ground, concrete here. But got off the ground a little bit, and right in the pads, and I easily steered it into the corner. And the other one was just right along the ground, and that was an easy kick save. That was about it. I still got my shutout going, and we'll see how the rest of the game happens.
Yeah, I'm excited to check back in on that. However, you are not a professional goalie. You do, however, do machine maintenance at an IQ testing facility. You make $80,000 a year repairing and maintaining the machines. These are like big, like old analog style computers where you punch in cards.
It should be known that you have a wife and a son.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of friends.
Do. Yeah, my wife's name is Lynn, and my son's name is also Lynn.
That's makes not it a after his mother?
No, it was actually after Lynn Shelton, who was a director who passed away recently. I'm a big fan of mumblecore films.
An indie darling.
I love Lynn Shelton. I love the films of those Duplass brothers. I love I love the films of Andrew Bielski, all those guys. So I knew if I ever had a kid, I'd name it after one of them. And as luck would have it, I married a woman who had the same first name as an esteemed mumblecore filmmaker. I am bisexual, so if I'd married a guy named Andrew, it would be the same deal. It would have been and if it had been a girl, her name would have been Andrew. So,
and if listeners can't tell by your mumblecore talk, you are technically a genius. You have 184 is your IQ. These deaths are determined by 20 questions. They're multiple choice, four options each. And each question holds different values depending on what your name is and what the vibes are like that day. Most of the questions are vibe-based.
Absolutely, yep. So today, if someone were to ask you your name, it might be more of an Otis question. But again, that depends on what your actual name is. Like, if your name is Amanda and you chose Otis, that might get you only a two. Again, depending on the vibe of the day. But if there's a different day, if it was a cold day and your name is Amanda and you chose Otis, you might get 48 points.
Do you mind if me and Steve give this a shot? Because I would like to take a guess at what name I am.
Sure, yeah, go ahead.
I like to think I have very Milo vibes.
Okay, let me check that. Okay, let me just get Milo. Okay, let me just skip that. Okay.
No, you all do have right. A computer with you in net.
Oh, I do, yeah. It's just it's a tablet, but yeah, it's I'm really good at typing, and again, the other team cannot get it out of their own zone. We're on a 4-minute power play right now, so I got plenty of time.
You guys do power plays, and your game's a shinny.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, we take it serious. Yeah, we have our buddy Evan is the referee, and he's by the book. Evan's by the book. So yeah,
you have a friend who just does refereeing?
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, he's I mean, he does it on a volunteer basis. He's not professional at it, but yeah, he's a really good ref. He knows the game in and out, and the nice thing is if there's ever like a fight breaks out, then he'll get right in the middle of it too and just start swinging. So
and sorry, quickly my results, and then Steve, you can take a guess as well.
Okay, sure. So your results for that question were 1 point.
Okay, that's pretty bad from what
I
understand.
Yeah, wow. It is bad. Yeah, it is
What
bad.
Was the right answer?
The right answer was actually Craig.
Not an option.
Yeah, it was for that particular test. I should say I actually inputted your results into a different test entirely.
Oh, shit.
Let me try the other right test. I'm just typing in here. Okay, so yeah, it turns out the actual answer was Otis. I'm sorry. But you still got only 1 point.
Because I got it wrong and said Milo.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well,
Steve?
Which test am I taking?
You're taking what we call the Guggenheim-Schlosser test. So your question is going to be, what color is it today?
Right, and do I get to know the four options?
You certainly do.
Okay.
Option A is actually going to be red. Option B is going to be blue. Option C is going to be magenta. And then option D is going to be purple.
Hmm. Well, today feels purple.
Yeah, that is correct. And you got 400 points.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So as long as you don't blow the rest of this test.
Which are sometimes do you get negative points? Like, is that going to come down?
Well, yeah.
Martin Scorsese and his Avengers answer.
That's right. I shouldn't write in that any movies are theme park rides.
Yeah, he actually apparently had like 500 points going into the last question. And that was the last question. So he lost, hundreds of points. Well over 400 points. Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll take one someday and fare better than old Marty.
Give it a try. Yep.
Now, one of the regulars at the clinic was Jim Fargo, a man who came in once, got 48, came in again, and I think... Was it this time you yelled at him, or was it the next time when he came in you yelled at him?
Oh, yeah.
When I yelled at him, it was the second time he came in, because I was so mad that he couldn't remember where the testing area was.
And he got so upset, he ran right into the testing room and took the test.
And got a better result than the previous times, yeah.
Yeah. The next time you see Jim Fargo is when you arrive to work the next morning to read your book early, the only place you can read and the only time you can read. You walk into the lobby. Jim Fargo is laying face down, ass up, untwisted. You say, "Hey, buddy, are you okay?" Throttle him, kick him. No response. You call 911 and learn he is dead. Was the rest of the lobby, as you remember it, was anything out of place?
One thing that was out of place, actually something was missing.
Mm.
Typically in the lobby of the building where the IQ Center is located, there's a giant statue of Matthew Modine. Do you guys know Matthew Modine?
Sure. Apocalypse? No, not Apocalypse. Full Metal Jacket.
Full Metal Jacket. He was in Married to the Mob.
Stranger Things.
He most recently in Stranger Things. That's right. Yeah, he's been in a lot of stuff. And Yeah, so he apparently was a good friends with the founder of the center. And so the founder of the center, I guess to cheer him up one day, because he was having a bad day, I guess he got turned down for a role in The English Patient. And so he was like, hey, if to make this up to you, like, would it make you happy if I made a big statue of you and put it in the IQ Center's lobby? And Matthew Modine, he's no fool. His IQ is 300. He was like, yeah, do it, man. I'd love that. And so, yeah, there it was. But it was missing. I noticed that day, like, right after I called the ambulance for, unfortunately, the dearly departed Jim, I noticed it was missing. So I don't know what happened.
Yeah, that's tough to take a whole statue.
It is tough, yeah. And I don't know if it was related. I don't know if he, violently assaulted poor Jim and then took the statue. I hate to speculate. You almost wonder, like, is the reason why he killed Jim, whoever it is, whoever was the killer, is it because Jim caught him in the act of stealing the statue? And if so, why was he stealing the statue?
I like that theory.
Just a theory.
Yeah. Oh. This is the Skype song. It's always the same every episode. We're going to click hello. Hello?
Hello.
Hello, who's this?
Well, look who it is. Oh, hey, Sam McGillicuddy. Didn't know you'd be on this call. Oh.
Yeah, I didn't know you would be either. If I had known, I never would have gone on it.
That's classic Sam. Sam the man, I call him. I love this guy. If I was there, I'd give you a noogie.
You better not. I'll clean your clock if you try that kind of nonsense.
I make $8 million a year. I make $8 million a year. My name's Greg Bartola, and I make $8 million a year. And guess what? I got a wife.
How many kids?
Three kids.
Wow.
And guess what? I play rec basketball, and I'm one of the best there is. I've got some friends who are pretty good. And I'm better than all of them.
I doubt it. First of all, I'm amazed you even had time to get on this call. Shouldn't you be off somewhere feeding upwards of 5 cards into the machine? I'm amazed you took time out from your busy schedule of feeding upwards of 5 cards into the machine.
Sam, shouldn't you be inadvertently harming people with your overly sharp elbows?
Excuse me, I don't know if you're listening, but I've had that looked into, and I typically wear pads, I don't hurt anyone with my elbows anymore.
Well, why don't you tell them some of the incidents that occurred before you started doing that? Matthew Modine.
Oh, all right. You had a run-in.
So, yeah, I did. So Matthew Modine... it would have been a few years ago. He visits the center every now and then to check on his statue and just make sure it looks shipshape. And just he does a photo opportunity. Reporters come out. Yeah, it gets reported on the paper. You know, all that jazz. And so he's coming down the line, shaking the hands of all the employees. And I go reach out and I shake his hand. And then as I kind of am pulling my hand away, my elbow grazes his hand. He screams in pain. And his hand is like spurting blood. And so we had to get, you know, help for him, obviously. But unfortunately, as a result of his injury, he had to pull out of a movie he was supposed to do called The Guy Who Has Immaculate Hands. So I don't know
why. He was going to be the titular character in that.
You'd think they could have put makeup on his hand to make it look like he had immaculate hands. But I guess the director, Martin Scorsese... dipshit non-paray. He apparently wanted authenticity. He wanted someone who actually had immaculate hands. So he missed out. I feel terrible about it. And that was one of the essence that really inspired me to get help on this elbow issue. So yeah, nope. Take that.
Well, I'm not sure that's really a fuck you. In fact, that sounds like a pretty big old mistake to me. A real blunder.
It was a mistake, and I learned from my mistakes, unlike you, who keeps feeding too many cards into the goddamn machine.
Listen,
when are you going to learn?
I have been doing this for over 40 years, okay? 41 years is how long I've been doing this.
Hmm.
And you know what my IQ is?
Yes, I do, but go ahead.
427.
Yeah. See,
yeah,
he's actually
the highest recorded score ever for a test, 427.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's a pretty good illustration of how you can game the system here. I mean,
yeah. If you take enough tests every day, eventually you'll get it.
Yeah, well, what he seems to be forgetting to mention is that his father is the guy who started the center and who is such good friends with Matthew Modine.
That doesn't make it. That is nothing to do with it. The fact is, I did the test 5 times a day, every day, until I got that score, and I earned that score, and I'm actually a super genius.
It does explain the $8 million salary for just inputting results that sound like they're always done incorrectly.
Well, I get $8 million a year because I work hard. I actually work very hard at it, yes, do work very hard, and yes, I have to take some days off, all right? And yes, okay, maybe I need to take some other little added benefits, like maybe I dip into the company supply of cards, and I go home and I sell them. But that's just... That's nothing to do with anything, all right? The point is I work very hard, I'm good at my job, and I've done it for so long that I earned this position. And on top of that, the super genius.
No way. You are the benefactor of nepotism. You've benefited from nepotism, and you have cheated on all of your tests because you fake your vibes. You fake vibes.
Okay.
See, this is what they don't tell you.
Have a look at this, huh? What do you think is on my finger right here? What do you think that is?
That's what do I think is?
A mood ring, buddy.
That's the
and
thing.
What does it look like?
Looks
purple.
Like
purple
well,
today.
That's the thing. Mood rings can throw off the test.
No, good vibes only over
I guess
here.
Mood rings are cheating because they tell you exactly what color the day is.
That's not cheating. That's smart. That's 427 kind of smart.
No way! No way! You're a hood rat. You're a dirt bag. You're a rat in a fink.
Well, all right, $8 million a year. So, keep
talking. $80,000 a year, well earned. I do more work than you at the center, and I am a better basketball player and hockey player than you. So, I have challenged you one on one on basketball countless times, and you won't accept the challenge because you're a coward. Plain and simple.
Well, that's because you throw elbows, and I'm not looking to get my eye poked out.
You know I wear pads. I don't cheat the way you do, and I'm a better 3-point shooter than you. I have a better layup. I have more strength and skill and agility than you do. And quite frankly, if I ever faced off against you in one-on-one, I'd shatter the backboard with my dunks. The glass would rain down on your head, and you're afraid of that. You're afraid to get showed up in front of your wife and your kids, none of whom can read. I mean, no offense. I mean, yeah, I know that they're
proud of that. They never have to learn how to read. You know how rich you have to be to have to never learn how to read? That's incredible. That's opulence. That is a lifestyle few can afford.
They are 2-1-0, it's true. I don't know why. Maybe that's not the own I thought it was. But
not
still.
My wife.
Okay.
Good.
Okay. Well, I actually did not know your wife couldn't read, so that's interesting information.
Oh, I thought you were coming for her, but
she's fine. I have nothing against your wife, actually.
Oh, great. Good. My lovely wife, Andrew.
Yeah, she's hot. Really hot.
All right. Relax.
She's hot as hell, man.
The point is, this man is trying to distract with his big game talk from the fact that he's probably the one who killed Jim Fargo anyway.
Well,
I saw you berating this man. I saw you screaming at this man. Did you tell him about that?
I did, because I'm honest and I'm upfront, but I did not kill him.
He was very well behaved.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
So I have, I guess, 2 questions. So I will start with the first one. When you found Jim Fargo's body, did it look like, beyond him just being pale as a ghost, was there any sign of injury?
He did have a big scar that was bleeding across his forehead.
A scar?
Yeah, it was a scar that was bleeding. So I think what happened was, and again, this is just pure
conjecture.
It might
be a wound.
This is pure speculation. So he had a scar, and then I think someone had hit him on the scar, and it created a new kind of wound on top of the scar.
The scar split open.
Exactly, because you can see the scar outlines around the wound where it had keeled over.
So a head bonk is consistent with someone trying to steal the statue, getting caught, and frantically attacking.
Yep, absolutely. And I think the more I think about it, the more it had almost as if someone committed the act who was maybe the son of whoever founded the center. I don't know. That's just me, like, off the top of my head here. It's almost as if it was committed by someone who doesn't actually have a 400 IQ but claims to and is not that great at basketball. And his three kids who are 2, 1, and 0 can't read, and his wife is hot, and I'd love to have relations with her. I don't know. It just had that vibe. And I'm good at vibes. That's why I work at the center.
Sure. Do you agree, Greg?
I don't think it sounds anything like that. You know what I think? I think it sounds like to me that you're trying to cover up for a little wrongdoings of your own. Here, you flip over a man, and you notice now you're telling us a huge bloody scar on his head. Then why did you slap him? And why did you slap him on the butt? And then why did you throttle him? This man was clearly injured. This man was clearly hurt.
Shrug from Sam.
This is what I'm saying. And then you know what you do? You know what's so easy to do? Did this man tell you? He has a fleet of pickup trucks at his disposal. A fleet.
Cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is pretty cool. But guess what you can store in those? And guess what is pretty easy to get rid of? A statue.
Lumber.
Oh, close. A statue. He maybe moves lumber with him. But the point is, I think you took the statue and you got rid of it. And you're trying to create this whole other narrative that it's me, and it's Greg. It's always Greg, because I can't stuff the right number of cards into a machine.
All right, if I wanted that statue, like, I'm good friends with your father, all right? I'm good friends with Tim. If I wanted that statue, I'd just ask him. Like, the man's like a father to me, much more than he was ever a father to you, quite frankly. if I wanted it, he'd just give it to me. But I know that having that statue in the lobby, it's as sort of a calming effect on people who are coming in to take the test. They see Matthew Modine, as we all would, like on a movie screen, and think everything's going to be just fine.
Yeah. First of all, I know exactly who that is just by 1 second of them showing his face. I know that it's famous actor Matthew Modine, and I feel at peace.
Absolutely, yeah. And it has the same effect on people taking the test. So I know the benefits of having it in the lobby. I wouldn't dare want to move it. Only someone who like secretly hates the center, possibly because their father owns it and they resent their father and they want to destroy what he created. Again, this
and
is
their
just
wife's hot.
And their wife's really hot. Again, the kids, 2-1-0 can't read, not that great at basketball. It's almost like someone who had all those qualities would take it. Again, that's just me spitballing. I'm just speculating.
I don't know what exactly you're implying here.
Oh, I think you know exactly what I'm implying. Even you're not that dumb. I think you did it, Buster.
What? Excuse me?
Yeah.
Excuse me. Oh, okay. Really? You think I would tarnish Daddy's good name?
I do.
You think I want to do that?
Absolutely. Yep.
What, you think I want to do that just because I want to stop my own line of private jet ski rental sales and the tutoring sessions where me and my hot wife in tandem take people out and we sandwich them on a jet ski and jet ski around and in the Thousand Islands? Yeah. Well, maybe that is my plan.
Okay, first of all, a lot of these
but
details
that's a good,
I'm hearing for
that's
the first
actually
time.
A good business idea. And actually, I think a lot of people would like that and actually enjoy that.
I do. As I said, a lot of these details I'm hearing for the first time, you wanted to sandwich them? Like, is this a sexual thing with you and your wife?
Well, we
I just imagine riding on the jet ski, one in front, one behind.
That's it.
Oh, I thought you meant sandwich them and have kind of an orgy while you're on the jet ski, which seems dangerous.
Do you mean that?
No, it would more just be like a tantalizing option that me and my wife are on either side of you as we jet ski around. And nothing sexual would come of it, but they'd have a good time. It'd be very expensive. And I just think that is my aspiration. And that has nothing to do with destroying my father's empire.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to do that at all right now because the IQ testing facility is taking up all of his money. You wouldn't be able to start that business.
Right. Well, it's not now. It's closed for a bit. So I actually have been able to get a kind of a start on that, which is actually
been... It's been closed because no statue, and you can't run it without the statue.
Yeah. Which I didn't know actually would be the case, but it's kind of serendipitous and it is actually kind of nice for me. So I am working on that and I am moving my funds currently to a new bank. I just opened it. I just started moving my money to new bank.
Onshore?
And I would say shore adjacent and close to shore. And I just think it's a more secure place and I've heard it's a better spot to keep my money. And, I am getting another call, so I have to go. I do have to get off.
Well,
I'm getting it right now. I'm getting it right now. Oh,
sure. Actually, you can take it. Feel free to take it on air.
No, yeah, it has to, no, I have to hang up this one in order to take it. I'm so sorry, guys.
What do you have to hide? What are you trying to hide,
well,
buddy?
I can take it right now. Oh, hello. It's Tarantino. It's my buddy. It's another fellow. It's another fellow genius. Hi, Tarantino. Thank you for calling
Hello.
Me. Thank you for calling me.
No so worries. Help getting rid of something like the wolf?
No.
Wolf something?
No, I wanted you to maybe help shoot an advertisement for my new Sea-Doo business. That's all. That's all I wanted.
Okay,
gonna like the language.
I want to intervene here. Mr. Tarantino, can I just say, first of all, I love Jackie Brown. I'm a big fan. And I must say, you can do a lot better than associating with a dung heap like this human being right here. You shouldn't be hanging around with the likes of him. You can do a lot better.
Okay. Great.
Well, all right.
Thank you. Bye.
That was easy.
Oh, great. You see, this is why I didn't want to take the call. And now all of a sudden I've lost a good friend of mine. I used to play basketball with that guy.
Is he good?
Well, not as good as me.
Yeah, I doubt that.
I've posterized Tarantino's more times than I could count.
Yeah, well, that remains to be seen. I'd like to see that. I doubt it.
Well, unfortunately, it sounds like it's just the two of you pointing fingers at each other with the exact same amount of evidence mounting against both of you. So I'll call this one a draw. And that wraps up another successful episode of Kill to Death. It was a tie.
Oh, that's a shame. But look, we all know the real truth here, all right? You may not have... this is like the Zodiac. Like, it hasn't been officially solved, but we know who it really was, you know? We know who it was.
Yeah.
Wasn't me. I just want to make that clear.
But yeah, it wasn't me. That's what we know for sure.
Well, but we know for sure it wasn't me, is the thing. That's what we know for sure.
Okay. And we can agree it wasn't me.
No, I don't agree with that at all. No. And I don't agree with that.
Okay.
I want to thank Zach Aaron for not only our theme song, but this week's submission. He wanted a murder solved at an IQ testing facility. If you have a suggestion for a murder, you can email killtodeathpodcast@gmail.com. You can also email us. And once again, please let us know whose dentist sucking tube noise was best. If you want to have a guess online, you can follow K2D Pod on Twitter or Killed to Death Podcast on Instagram. And please rate us something good that we'll like anywhere you can do so. That's all I have to plug. Is there anything, Sam, you would like people to check out?
Oh, anything you'd like, anything I should check out?
Anything you, Sam, is there anything that you want people to know about? You can be a fan of someone. I know this is a podcast. Perhaps a second podcast has started somewhere else in the world.
I'm not going to lie. I really zoned out there for a second. I was so overcome with rage at Greg not admitting to the murder of Mr. Fargo. I really zoned out. I was in the last of my own world there. I apologize for the radio silence there, listeners.
Still playing a game of hockey.
Well, that is true, actually. I zoned out, and also I had to make a save. But this one was surprisingly hard. I had to stretch myself across the entire goal line and kind of kick my legs in the air, but I got it. Shutout is still underway, and we got about 8 minutes left in the third here, so I like my chances. In any case, when I'm not playing hockey or looking into murders at the IQ Center, I listen to this podcast called Mind of Mitch, and it's by this guy named Darren Springer. He used to be in Toronto. Now he's in Winnipeg. And it's him hosting in character as this guy, Mitch, who's a 50-year-old divorcee. And so it's like his audio diary every week. So he'll update you on his life. He'll read from self-help books he's been reading. He'll also read to you from his unpublished memoir, which is called Letting My Soul In Through the Back Door. And so it's like a 10-episode season, and then he'll probably do another season a little while after that. And they're like 19 minutes or so, like anywhere between 17 to 19 minutes. So they're short, digestible.
How long a podcast should be.
Yeah, well, it all depends on the kind of podcast. I think a podcast where it's just one guy should not be an hour, but that's just me. It's nice, digestible little chunks. You can listen to them whenever you want on the can. Other places too, but you could listen to it on the can.
That is the first and only example you thought of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if you can't listen to it on the can for whatever reason, then try somewhere else, like your living room, your bedroom, kitchen would be fine.
I'm not going to poo in there.
Well, that's not what I mean. I just mean like if you were just listening and you didn't have to go to the bathroom, you could listen to it in those places too. Although, if you don't have to go to the bathroom but you want to listen in the bathroom, you can do that too. It's up to you.
Wow, this sounds really good.
Yeah, the possibilities are endless. This podcast is a real pioneer in that area, in that you can listen. It's the rare podcast you can listen to in the bathroom if you don't have to go to the bathroom. You can sit on the toilet.
Ours isn't like that.
No way. Couldn't do it with this podcast. No way. If you couldn't go, if you didn't have to make a pee or a poo, and you could not listen to this in the bathroom, it just wouldn't work. No offense, guys, but
no. None taken.
We know. We know. Yeah.
We've gotten that note from Mike Mangiardi at Sonar before.
Oh yeah.
Hope that works out.
And Steve, is there anything you want people to check out?
Yeah, I guess listen to Kill to Death. Specifically when you have to pee and poo.
But it doesn't have to be in the bathroom. For ours, it's any time you have to pee or poo.
Great.
Right. So you can listen to it outside if you had to pee or poo.
Sure. Yep. Yeah. Keep going.
Yeah. Or in the kitchen.
If you have to pee and poo, sure.
Yep. Bedroom again if you have to pee and poo. At work if you have to pee and poo. Yeah. That sounds good.
It just has that kind of frantic energy that I think really associates well with that state of mind.
Absolutely. Yep. Yep. Yeah, I can feel myself having to do that right now as I'm on the podcast. Sorry, TMI there maybe, but,
Well, good luck. I know you're still mid-game with 8 minutes left to go, so hopefully you can get through it.
Yeah, we're at 4 minutes left now, and god damn it. Yep, just got scored on. Unbelievable. I just took my eye off the game, and puck slid all the way down the ice. Guy was just clearing it, and sailed right past me. And it was a guy who had never scored a goal before either. So the worst player on that team. So yeah, I'm gonna be hearing it from the guys. There goes my shutout. I was on 84 shutouts in a row, but whatever.
Well, I'm sorry this had to be such a sad ending then.
Yeah.
But to everyone out there, and I think this is the first time this has ever actually been applicable as a closing sentiment, keep your stick on the ice.
Yes, do that.
Killed to Death is produced and recorded by Steve Cook and Griffin Toplitsky and is a proud part of the Sonar Network. Music by Zach Aaron. Art by Brady Schumer. Special thanks to Mike Mangiardi, Katie Lure, and Tom Shank. Please follow and like Killed to Death wherever you can so the boys know how to value their worth as human beings.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.